Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's hour three. What a combustible, wild day in the Herd, live in Los Angeles. That's the show, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. We're way back on commercials today. You know what? You know, a lot of people want to be on the show. Guests, advertisers, Joy and I do a show. It's a very fine show. Very fine. Bigly fine. And so we got a bunch of stuff today. And Bill Simmons, he's very busy. He doesn't come on. He doesn't do these shows. But once a year, he'll text me and say, hey, let's talk. So I don't bother Bill Simmons. I never bother him, and twice a year, Bill says, hey, bring me on your show, and I do, and I just blow the show up, and I say, all right, Bill wants to be on the show, and he's, of course, the founder of The Ringer. It's doing fabulously well. He's done very well for himself, and we went to a wrestling match together. We didn't go together, but I did meet his son, who's a riot, very, very funny, and let's bring on my friend Bill Simmons, Ringer, founder, entrepreneur, all that stuff. Well, look at you. You look fantastic. You look like a...
Hey, I'm too close to the camera.
No, you're just perfect. You look like a guy that's got scoops. All right, let's start with this. You have been critical before of Aaron Rodgers, and I've said this. This is something that just happens in the NFL ecosystem. We fall in love with Marino because of his talent. We fall in love with Favre because of his talent. And we fall in love with Mahomes because of his talent. But it's Bart Starr, Joe Montana, Brady, disciplined, coachable, great coach that win championships. And we've gotten to a point with Aaron Rodgers. I know he's talented. But there was a stretch here, Bill, where if you criticized him, it was a hot take. And I've never loved one quality about him. What makes Brady great is his ability to relate to an undrafted free agent, a rookie, take pay cuts, and it never gets credit because he doesn't look as dramatic, as enticing as Aaron. I don't like Aaron the leader. And so when I hear this story today, I'm like, this is on brand. He's manipulating the press. He's doing what's best for him. You know, Joy just said this. At least Cole Beasley's like, I'm not doing it. All right, I know where you stand. I'll avoid you in the bathroom, okay? Like, the Aaron lying thing, manipulating, it bothers me. Does it bother you?
Well, I was driving around today, and I heard you talking about it, and I thought, like, what a great day for Colin. Colin's been on this for years. I've dabbled, too. I think we live in this weird culture now when if you're critical of sports, anyone in sports, any athlete, coach, whatever, you immediately become a hater. There's no nuance with any of this stuff. I think Rodgers is a diva. I think he's been a diva the last couple of years. I thought the way he handled this whole offseason was very diva-ish. He didn't seem like a team-first guy to me. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why he chose the week of the NFL draft to blow it up into an even bigger story.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some of the points you've made over the years, when you talk about ex-teammates, how people who've played with him, some of the people, how they've talked about him, how candid he's been about them drafting another quarterback when he's in his late 30s, how he makes it seem like he's on the 2021 Jaguars when he's on a good team.
Right.
His team's good. His team's been good the last couple of years. They were really good last year. They almost made the Super Bowl. And it this woes me stuff. I'm going to go even deeper. I think sometimes people get weird when they get older, and I'm not saying always, but sometimes people who are single, they start to become a little narcissistic.
Yeah.
And they start seeing everything through this lens of me. What about me? Everything's about me. And to me, he just seemed like a classic narcissist the last year, where everything was somebody else's fault. He took no responsibility. He honestly seemed to think he was going to be the Jeopardy host, which was insane. They were never making him the Jeopardy host. And everything he did, I thought, you know, kind of compromised his team. And, you know, from personal experience, I remember in 96 when the Patriots made the Super Bowl, probably a year before they should have, and Parcells' last year. And Parcells had a bunch of stuff going on with Bob Kraft, and he let that stuff affect the team. He leaked stuff to Will McDonough, who was a Boston Globe columnist, who was one of his best friends, leaked that they were having this rift. And it really submarined the Super Bowl, and it became this big story and this big distraction. They ended up losing the Packers. Should they have lost anyway? I don't know. But it was selfish. It was narcissistic. And I think some of the stuff Rodgers has done over the last year just seems narcissistic. So when you throw in everything today, it's like, yeah, that's on brand for what we've seen.
Yeah. By the way, that thing you've talked about, I haven't talked about it a lot on the air. I think I've talked to about with Joy, is when you're married and have kids, you're constantly sacrificing. And when you are older and single and powerful and rich, I don't know if the word is weird, but your prism becomes you. You're the sun. Everybody else is just a small moon around your galaxy. And I do think Aaron has gotten into a kind of a narcissistic thing where I heard him last week talking about, I'm above all this criticism. And I'm like, no, you're in the middle of it. You're part of us. We're all sports, me. Okay, so let me segue to this.
Well, wait, hold on. Just one last piece on that.
All right.
Look, it only happens sometimes, but I'm sure you have either friends or friends of your wife or something that you look at them and everything is about, as you get older, everything becomes about a routine. When you have like kids, you're constantly taking losses. You're constantly bending. You're constantly doing things that you don't want to do you're taking one for the team over and over again. And that's my point with that. It's just like, I think as some celebrities that we've seen, and it's not just athletes, sometimes it's actors, sometimes it's singers. The people who they're kind of in charge of everything that they do and they're just, it's just them, weird stuff starts to happen. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes. And this was weird. It's weird that he said he was vaccinated when he wasn't.
Yeah. So OBJ. So my thing is, it didn't work. The data said it didn't work. It's okay to say it didn't work. It's not a hot take. We've been saying it for 2 years. It doesn't work. Okay. Sometimes a young quarterback and a star receiver, he feels he has to throw to him. This was Dak and Dez. I remember saying on the air, Dak needs the ability to throw to who he wants to, not get yelled at in the sideline when he doesn't throw to Dez. He's better without him, even though Dez is remarkable. So I never thought it worked. But I will say this. There are two teams in this league that have a great coach, great coordinators, great defense, good special teams. I think they're going to make the playoffs. They both have one flaw. No over-the-top dynamic. Saints and Patriots. OBJ to the Patriots. It's not crazy, right?
It fits the Belichick profile. He's bet on talent over and over again, right? Moss was the best case version of how it worked out. Probably the worst case was Ocho Cinco, who was single covered in the Super Bowl. They didn't even like have the safety shading over. They just left him alone on one side of the field. He's had Albert Haynesworth. There's a bunch of talented guys that they've taken looks at. I feel like I have takes on this stuff. I thought Beckham's looked bad this year. And then you watch that YouTube clip and he does seem like he's open a lot. And I'm not a huge Baker fan. I know you're not either. I think he's fine. If you switched him and Case Keenum and switched their jerseys, I honestly would have trouble telling who's who. But Beckham's hurt a lot. And, you know, you look at it and you go, all right, what are his wins? What's the best team he's ever been on? When was the last time he was really dominant? And it's been a couple of years, you know, and why does he keep getting hurt? How come it's like Anthony Davis is another one. And Anthony Davis is way better than Odell. But every time I watch a Laker game, Anthony Davis is rolling around on the floor at least once. Right. And some guys, that's just who they are when they're playing sports. Beckham seems like he's hurt a lot. At the same time, the Pats have cap room. If Beckham gets waived, he's done things like this before. Yeah. He always bets on the talent. And I think people always think like Patriots way, how do you fit in? It's been the opposite. He bets on talent over and over again. And I think they would look at him.
You know, I said with Mac Jones, my prediction was, I said, he is going to hit his ceiling much faster than everybody else. Don't be surprised if he's the best after 1 year. You'll see who he is. It'll be defined very clearly because the Patriots with Josh McDaniels, probably the best coordinator in the league. It's a very defined offense. They're not going to ask him a lot. So you're going to see who he is really quickly. May take Trevor Lawrence 4 or 5 years. My question has always been with Mac is, if it's not on script, you're not getting any bonus yards here. But am I wrong?
That's a cheap shot. I don't like that.
Oh, okay. So,
how dare you?
Okay. So
Mac's been really good this year.
He's been really good for the last 14 quarters. He's gotten out of the terrible throw.
He's a rookie. Look at the other rookies. He's been way more consistent than every other rookie quarterback we've had.
Can you win a playoff game with Mac Jones?
I think you could. I do. And I'll tell you this. Patriots 30-1 on FanDuel right now to win the AFC.
Come on.
Let's go through the AFC teams. Tell me what AFC team you like. All right,
Buffalo.
You say the Bills.
Buffalo.
Okay. All right. Who's owned Buffalo over the last 20 years?
Well,
what human being has owned them? Bill Belichick. Ravens, do you trust their defense? I don't.
Not their pass defense.
Kansas City, have you liked what you've seen?
No.
I don't.
No.
Do you like the Raiders or Chargers? I don't. Baker's got one arm. Cross them off. Steelers have Roethlisberger. No thanks. Go through the teams. Tennessee, no Derrick Henry. The Colts, Carson Wentz. I'm getting ideas, Colin. I'm going to be honest. I'm getting ideas. This is starting to feel 2001-ish to me.
Well, I would say in the NFC, they'd have no shot because the top of the NFC is insane.
Agree. I mean,
yeah, the Rams literally, and I don't feel like they guarantee the NFC championship, but honestly, with Von Miller, I really did think, what do you make of the Rams essentially saying draft picks are overrated?
I like it. I just don't think, I watched some Denver this year. I didn't feel like people are acting like Von Miller is the Von Miller from 5 years ago. We see this happen sometimes in trades where, you know, especially in basketball, it's like, wow, they got Westbrook. It's like, yeah, they got Westbrook. Have you watched Westbrook the last 4 years? He hasn't played defense since 2015. I think we do this with the big stars sometimes. Miller's, I'm sure he'll help. I don't think he's the same Von Miller that he was, you know, in 2015.
This is an interesting pivot then, because I do think I said this against Chicago in the first half, I came on the air Monday and I'm like, that's the best Tom Brady's thrown a ball in a decade. I thought he was unbelievable against Chicago. And I'm like, is it the humidity in Tampa? He threw darts into tiny, tiny windows. For a long time, I honestly thought this. I didn't talk about this on the air. He's married to a supermodel. I figure she had potions or something overseas. In the off season, he'd go and do some stuff. And it'd be like, you know, he had this advantage over everybody medically and some stuff. Maybe it was legal over there. I mean, I got to a point where, like, I don't even understand it. He doesn't even look like he looks younger. He's like, his face looks younger. What do you make of his longevity?
I mean, going back to weird quarterbacks, the Brady thing's weird too. He's 44. He was on with the Mannings, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
The Mannings, who were his peers. Eli came into the league, I think, 4 years after Tom did. And Peyton was like 2 years before. And they were like the old farts on the couch with like Brady's younger brother was on the show, only it was Brady. Brady looks like he's like coming out of, I don't know, some Netflix show. And I don't get it. He moves better than he's ever moved.
Ever.
In the pocket, he's spry. His deep ball, which is something that the Pats fans, as much as we love Brady, the hole in the Brady game for a couple years there was just consistency on deep balls.
Yeah.
That's back. Like, his deep ball hasn't looked this good in 10 years. And it's a total fountain of youth thing. I do think there's more advantages with some of this stuff now. I think the science, we've seen it with LeBron too. LeBron passed 60,000 minutes already in the NBA. You know, I don't know if you've ever done cryotherapy, Colin. Have you done cryotherapy?
No, I've been offered it. My son's done it. I've had
Joy, can you make sure Colin does cryotherapy? I really want his reaction.
What did you do it?
After
what
I've done it a few times. You walk out of there and you feel like you came out of a time machine. And it makes me think, like, all the advantages that these dudes have now. They're not flying coach in 1977, like with the person next to them smoking cigarettes and, you know, wearing crappy sneakers. This is like science has changed sports for the most part for the better, I think. And Brady, the fact that he's better than he was 4 years ago makes no sense. And yet he is.
Oh, they did.
I actually think it's indisputable.
Oh, no, listen, if you go to his release, it is indisputably fractions of a second faster.
And he moves better. His left to right movement is just better.
His velocity, according to Greg Cosell, is better. And if you go look at the first half against Chicago, and again, maybe he's more limber because of the humidity in Tampa, the ball he was throwing was 33-year-old Tom Brady. It had so much in little tiny windows. All right, two NBA topics. Bill Simmons for
Colin. I'm going to be so mad at you when I'm listening 2 weeks from now and you're like, I'll tell you who looks like a sleeper in the AFC, the Patriots. 15-1 on FanDuel. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. I'm planting my flag on the show with Patriots AFC.
All right. Speaking
go ahead with NBA.
Speaking of youth, doesn't Bill look good today?
Thanks, California
Colin.
Sun.
No, you do. You look
thanks, Colin.
You look very good. So let two topics. The Celtics play crappy defense, although nobody plays great defense early in the NBA, but it is interesting. The Brad Stevens thing, it got too much criticism. They did get to the Eastern Conference. Ainge didn't hit in a lot of these draft picks. I still think Brad's super smart. But I look at the Celtics now with the way Miami's playing, with the depth and confidence of Milwaukee, and if Philadelphia can engineer anything for Simmons, and I think Celtics aren't a championship team. I feel like...
Championship team? Are they a playoff team? I don't know if they're a playoff team, Colin. I think they're going to be in the play-in tournament. It's
what happened.
Something. Stevens was a really good coach. I think he got burned out on the roster and vice versa. I'm okay with him leaving. I get it. New coach comes in. He's learning on the fly. Defensively, they're a train wreck.
Yes.
I think they're 30th in points allowed.
Yeah, they're bad.
And I said this on my podcast today. To put this in perspective, they've allowed more points than OKC, who starts Poku. Or plays Poku, like 20. Have you seen Poku? Poku plays 20 minutes a game for OKC, and the Celtics allow more points than OKC, who's intentionally trying to lose. They're trying to go like 8-64. It's 74. So the defense has been bad. They don't have a real point guard. And, you know, we're really starting to ask the questions now, the Boston fans, about we love Tatum, we love Brown. I wanted those guys to stay together forever. And now... watch them over and over. It's like, are these guys redundant with each other? Do they make each other better? Do they make sense as a combo? Like Bird and McHale is like the peak of a combo in Celtics history, right? Those guys were perfect together. McHale would cover the other team's best offensive player. Bird was the best entry passer, probably in the history of the league. He could spread the floor for him. They were on the same page. It was perfect. And Tatum and Brown, it's a lot of like dueling banjos. It's a lot of your turn, my turn. And a lot of standing around. And I think people are starting to get concerned. Meanwhile, you look at the stats, they're averaging like 54, 55 points a game. You know, and you think like on paper, that looks great. But if you're watching it, it doesn't feel right. And the mix doesn't feel right. I do think they should, there's some rotation stuff and things like that. I'm not ready to panic yet, but I'm kind of quietly panicking.
Well, and also for the first time in 20 years, the East is better than the West because Chicago is really, really good. Miami's added Lowry. He's a little banged up. So the first time in 20 years, I honestly believe this, is that because the West is aged, Portland doesn't look right. I think the East is better than the West. And that's
Clippers, no Murray, no Kawhi.
And so Utah's got a low ceiling, but they're a great regular season team. So I think that's...
Uh-oh, don't let those fans come at you.
They like me in Utah.
Be careful. Watch out for those Utah fans.
No, I ski there.
They're mobilizing. They apologize right now.
All right, finally. I said this. There are some things I can... It takes a while for me as a broadcaster to tell the difference between good and very good and very good and great. When you watch The Voice or a music show, I'm like, that's pretty good, but is it great? It's great, but is it... But bad is obvious on any music show and in any sports team. And I watch the Lakers defensively. They are so slow. They're not only old on the starters, they're old on the bench. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm sorry, but it's a spacing league. I don't think the Lakers, I look at them and I'm like, that's not a championship team. You can't defend like, right? You're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, but now you're going to get caught and you're a hater.
No, they're just...
You just don't like LeBron.
They're old.
It's like, guess what? You won the title in the bubble 3 years ago, and you had three pretty good to elite wing defenders, who none of them are on the team now. Danny Green, KCP, Caruso. They had the ability to defend on top and make enough 3-point shots on top of the Davis LeBron combo. Now it's basically just the Davis LeBron combo.
Yes.
And that might be enough in the West. But to me, this feels like a 2018 Cavs situation. Remember the 2018 Cavs where it was Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Dwayne Wade. They had all that. And then by February, half the team had been traded and they made Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, all these different people came in because the team didn't work. I don't think this is the team that we're going to see in March. I'm not positive what the moves are, but the one thing that I know is that I don't think they can move off Westbrook, and I am not convinced he makes sense with LeBron and Davis. I hated the trade when it happened. I think they would have been better off with KCP and Buddy Hield, and they would have a defender and shooting. And I just think Westbrook, they're like, no, he'll really help us during the regular season. I don't care about the regular season. You got to win four playoff rounds, and he's a really hard guy to have on the floor if you're trying to win four playoff rounds.
Oh, yeah.
We have how many years of evidence now of this? Like he needs the ball to succeed, and he is not a good defensive player. He's just not. So I think they're flawed. But as you said, the West is so much worse. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's just like, who are the best two guys? And maybe that's who makes it out of the West. I like Golden State the most, but it's early.
I like them too.
We're going to change our opinion a million times.
I know.
Over the next 6 months. I think Denver has to be at least mentioned because of the level that Jokic is playing right now. I mean, he went up a level. He won the MVP last year. He's better this year.
I think Jordan Poole's interesting. If Klay comes back and gives me 90% of Klay, Steph's still at an MVP level. Draymond offensively is better. I actually like Golden State to win the West this morning, if you ask me. Okay.
One more piece. They have trades to make.
Yes,
they have Kuminga. They have Wiseman. They have the Wiggins contract. Like that's a team that's positioned to add a piece if they need to do it. So I think they're the safest bet, but betting against LeBron and Davis makes me nervous.
All right. So he has a podcast today. You know about it, the Bill Simmons pod. And, first of all, it was great seeing you. We only talk a couple times a year. It was great seeing you at the wrestling event. You look very healthy.
Well, we share joint custody of Russillo. So I think we talk a lot about that.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Good seeing you, too.
All right, Bill Simmons. Yeah. It is. You and I talked about this. The first time in 20 years, the Eastern Conference of the NBA is better than the Western Conference. It's no question.
You see those Heat?
And Chicago's good. And if Philly can engineer anything, because I think that team without Simmons is a playoff team. If they can engineer a deal and get another offensive piece, you're like,
yeah. They need to do something,
bigs.
And Andre, the Nets need to do something too.
Yeah. Oh, but I didn't even mention Brooklyn. That's a great point. I didn't even mention Brooklyn. So all right, we got to get to spots here. Aaron Rodgers, Bill agrees. He's a diva. He is. I mean, when you open your mouth and you sound like a diva, what do you want me to think? I think you're a diva.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Faherty, founded by twin brothers, great family business, 20% off with the code Herd. Go to FahertyBrand.com/Herd. Let me read another one real quick here. We're back. Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card end of the first year. No limit automatically. Discover.com/yes. Check it out. Limitations do apply. All right. He was a scout for three different teams. The Eagles, the Browns, the Ravens. He now does Chargers radio. He's got a podcast, Move the Sticks. Daniel Jeremiah is one of those guys who I follow when it comes to the draft, when it comes to personnel moves. And there's three things that I want to hit on with Daniel. So let's bring him on, the NFL Network analyst. All right. So let's first of all, start with Aaron Rodgers. My take on this has been, it's a little on brand for Aaron, which is he's difficult. He does his own thing. At times I think he can be selfish. I think he tends to manipulate. These are all my opinions, not yours. I think he manipulated the media and the team in the summer. I'm immunized, not vaccinated. So in a way, I'm not shocked by any of it. Disappointed, certainly. But I do think, and I said this earlier, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, Aaron. My takeaway was quarterback is different. There's a responsibility because you got seven receivers on your roster. You got two quarterbacks. And if one goes into COVID protocol, you can upend everybody else on the roster. So I think the criticism of an Aaron this morning is just. That's my opinion. How do you think it plays in the Packer locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say how it would play in the locker room, Colin, but I think I'm with you just from the standpoint of you can make the case about being vaccinated and the competitive benefits that are obviously out there, that those exist. To me, this is just more about just be authentic and just be real and be who you are and make the decision and stand by it. I just think as a leader, forget just being a quarterback, just a leader anywhere, authenticity is what's appreciated. And I didn't think this was a very authentic situation, but I'm with you. If you talk to people, a lot of people around the league were not surprised by how this all came down today.
I did say there is a possibility here for some clarity. So in April 23rd of last year, Jordan Love got drafted. He's now had a season as a backup, an OTA, a camp, a preseason, and half this season. We're asking Mac Jones to play today. This kid has had, a lot of time now. Kansas City's defense is not the most uncomfortable. I mean, he will have time to throw, and there will be openings. And I look at it and I say to myself, We're going to get some clarity here. If he goes out and he looks bad, well, but if he looks good, Daniel.
Yeah.
The Patriots got a second for Garoppolo. There's a bunch of GMs in this league, Daniel, that like Jordan Love out of college, right? And if he tears it up, it's not the worst thing in the world for Green Bay. What's your takeaway on the Jordan Love Kansas City game?
Well, it's ironic, Colin, because when Jordan Love was coming out, if you go before his final season, if you remember, he lost a lot of guys off that team, so he didn't play as well his last year. Coming into that final season, the thought was, this is Patrick Mahomes 2.0. That's who this guy is. He's super athletic. He can make all these off-platform throws. He's an incredible raw talent. Now, Mahomes got time, and he was able to have that redshirt year and develop, and we saw obviously what he turned into. So now you get he gets his opportunity on the same field against the guy he was kind of compared to. So I'm excited to see Jordan Love play, because the ability, Colin, you'll see it. He'll make a couple throws in that game, and you'll go, okay, that's some rare stuff. Now, can he do the basic, simple stuff consistently? That's where we need to see if the improvement's taking place.
Okay, so you're a scout for three teams. You scout these players, and I said, you know, years ago, Daniel, we all got treated terribly by taxis. They smelled. They made us use cash. If we tried to use a credit card, the guy would bark at us. And then Lyft and Uber happened. And now I have leverage. I don't have to take you. And I said, wide receiver has changed in the NFL. A, they're more important. B, I don't know why, but in the last 5-6 years, college football floods the NFL with all this wide receiver talent. And I'm like, I'm not sure how necessary OBJ, brittle OBJ is. You tell me, when you look at his tape, can he still play?
He can still play, Colin. But, I mean, I think the narrative that got pushed a little bit from his camp and his side of things is, well, I don't have the targets. I'm not getting the opportunities. I was calling the Charger game. It's 4th and 2 in that game, and Baker Mayfield literally hit him in the face. And he drops the ball. That's a play. That's one play that probably wins the Cleveland Browns that football game. So he's had some of those issues dropping the football. He does get open. He still has some quickness and some suddenness. But I can go back to this receiver conversation that you just kind of mentioned, because you look at Stephon Diggs, and for all the credit that the Buffalo Bills got, obviously he's been a great player. They're one of the elite receivers in the NFL. He's been phenomenal. But the pick they traded in Minnesota was Justin Jefferson. Like, that dude's pretty darn good too now. I mean, you can find these wide receivers. They come in each and every year. Looking in this next draft class, Colin, there's going to be a bunch more coming. It's the 7-on-7 wave that we live in right now, that whole world. So this is what you're getting. I always tell kids, man, if you can run and you're 6 feet and you've got long arms, go play DB. That corner board is a lot shorter than that wide receiver board every year, man. That's easy money.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Okay, finally, the Von Miller deal. Listen, we all know why they made it. If you look at the NFC now, you got Brady at the top, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray. You're going to face a great quarterback. The more pressure you put on him, the better. The question is, though, Daniel, second and a third round pick, is he still elite? What does the tape say on Von Miller, Daniel?
Well, in spurts and in flashes, and I think when you're the Rams and where you are, I think you've got an opportunity to try and nurse him through the rest of the regular season. Load management, whatever term you want to use, Colin. And I think his whole value, those second and third round picks, if he can get you a couple sacks in the postseason, help you win one or two of those games on the way to chase a championship, you gladly part with those two or second or third round picks. What the Rams have done, trading all these picks over the last few years, I know some people say, oh, they're going to have to pay the piper down the line. They're trading these picks for premier players at premier positions. I have no problem with what they're doing. And because of the comp rules and the comp picks, they end up with a bunch of third, fourth, fifth round picks. You know what you get with third, fourth, fifth round picks? You get the non-premium positions that they need, the safeties, the linebackers, the guards. They can fill all those in. So I like what Les Snead has done. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, that's good stuff. So we got the OBJ, the Aaron, the Von Miller. I really wanted your opinion on that. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. Great seeing you. Thanks for hanging around with us.
Thanks, Colin. See you, man.
You bet. All right. So that's a really good point. You don't need Von Miller next week. What you need is big spots, big – when you play Arizona again, when you play Seattle and Russell Wilson –
you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're not paying his salary.
Done pretty well.
See, that's why we bring him on. Where are we at here time-wise? Oh, we got a lot of stuff. All right, I got to read a spot. We've got a lot of stuff. Herd Line News going to be around the corner, too, with Joy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Five lucky winners split more than $300,000 in Sunday's Stack the Cash contest on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. If you missed out on the fun last weekend, don't worry. They're running it back this week. Scan the QR code, download the app, and enter the NFL Sunday Challenge contest for free. Make your picks and invite your friends. The more people who enter, the bigger the jackpot gets.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers received homeopathic treatment from his personal doctor. And he asked the NFL, would you please review that? And the NFL did and said, yeah, you're unvaccinated. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Let's talk about that. So Ian Rappaport just tweeted this, that Aaron Rodgers did receive homeopathic treatment from his personal doctor to raise his antibody levels.
Okay.
Asked the NFL to review his status. The NFL, the NFLPA, and joint doctors ruled him as unvaccinated.
But Aaron is going to do what Aaron does. That's his history.
My eye is twitching a little bit. It's been a lot this morning.
Yeah. I would rather have somebody tell me, honestly, I'm unvaccinated or I'm vaccinated, than, and I guarantee you this is going to be Aaron's take. I didn't say I was vaccinated. I said I was immunized, and you were selfish.
Well, if we want to get technical.
Yeah.
Which, of course,
this is what Aaron does.
Important. He did say, yeah, before he said, I'm immunized.
Yeah, they asked him, are you vaccinated?
I am not a lawyer or judge.
Yeah. But he said, yeah.
He did say, yeah.
Yeah.
So you did lie with that one particular word. Now, I'm not going to get crazy about lying to the media. Coaches lie to the media. Players lie to the media. Other media lies to other media. I don't care about that. I'm not on this like media high horse. You have to tell us the truth. But it is extremely disingenuous.
Yeah.
And if you are walking around acting as if you are vaccinated because you had some witch's brew, and the reality is that you are, in fact, unvaccinated, and you are acting as if you are, so you're following those protocols, then it's past the point of being disingenuous. You are breaking the rules. Now, look, you can feel however you want to feel about the vaccine. You can get it. You cannot get it. But you don't make the rules. And we all follow rules that we don't necessarily like, but they still exist.
Unless you're a narcissist, and then you believe the rules do not apply to you, which many have claimed with Aaron, which is, Aaron, I literally heard him last week talking about, I am not in these conversations. I am above. You're a football player for a living that lives in the middle of nowhere, and we talk about you, and you're right in the middle of all these conversations. You're not above anything. There's a salary cap, which dictates you even have limitations on what you can make and what they can acquire as you're the quarterback. And this just comes off to me as Aaron being – I'm thinking it's on brand. It's Aaron doing his own thing.
It is very on brand. You know, whatever my opinion about it, personally, I feel like it's disappointing. Now, to set aside our feelings about the vaccine, which really don't matter, because at the end of the day, you don't have to be vaccinated in the NFL to play in the NFL.
That's right.
You do, however, have to follow
a bunch of rules.
Protocols.
Yes.
So if you are unvaccinated, you'll be subject to a 5-day quarantine period, and vaccinated individuals have other protocols. So
right.
Matt LaFleur said today in his press conference that the team has followed all the COVID protocols. Reportedly, word is beginning to circulate that teammates knew he wasn't vaccinated.
Okay.
So, I mean, the team obviously knew he wasn't vaccinated because he submitted this, all natural substance or whatever it was that he came up with his doctor as an alternative to being vaccinated. So they had to have been aware he wasn't vaccinated. But Rodgers has appeared on the sidelines of all of the preseason games with no mask. So that would amount to some COVID protocol violations. I'm sure the NFL is aware at this point that the story is out there. Yeah. And if there are some violations, then there will be punishment that is, you know, up to par with whatever the protocols are. It doesn't really matter. They're going to solve that. What does matter is you're not available for the game and you could miss up to two games because you tested positive and you are unvaccinated. So Odell did not practice today, one day after his father posted some comments on social media about Baker Mayfield, and now
11-minute video.
Yes.
Not just comments. Hey, docuseries.
Well, Beckham was excused from practice, according to Josina Anderson, and now we're getting all kinds of reports out of Cleveland. Mike Silver tweeted earlier today that Stefanski told his players Odell is essentially not on the team right now and that he has been told to stay home. Jake Trotter also tweeted that Stefanski hasn't spoken to Odell in the last 24 hours and that Odell's agent and the Browns GM, Andrew Berry, are discussing next steps.
Can we be just totally real? In the NFL, good or bad, Lamar Jackson as a quarterback is more important than anybody in the Ravens. And Baker, though I don't love him, is more important than any Cleveland Browns as a quarterback. You can't do an 11-minute family. I think.
No, this- but I would say this. If I'm Odell, and I think we both agree Odell has done a marvelous job in Cleveland as far as buying in, being a good soldier, doing what's asked of him. He hasn't been a distraction.
He's just not available.
He's always said the right thing. He's had some injury issues, but he has not been a problem in Cleveland to any capacity. He's not been the drama.
Right.
And he is not the reason why they are not playing well right now. Also,
fair.
We have been talking about this since the moment that he got there, that it was a weird fit, and then it actually wasn't a fit.
Right.
So in Odell's defense, I don't know this, obviously, but if he, say, went to the team and was like, I am unhappy here. This is not working. I would like to be moved. I think it would benefit everybody.
I've been told he did do that.
Okay. And they're like, no, we're not moving you. And they're dug in, which is not, it's silly at this point. I think we can all agree. What else is he supposed to do? Then you got to break glass. So while I don't agree with him, I wouldn't necessarily do that. But what else is he supposed to do in this situation? He kind of has to force their hand.
So now that if he gets cut, other teams, he goes to the waiver wire. So the worst teams would like Jacksonville or somebody would have the first dibs. You do have to pick up his salary for the rest of the year, which is about $8 million. Not a lot of teams in the NFL have cap space. You know, New England maybe has a little. So there are a couple places it may work. I have suggested New England because I do think the only thing they miss, they have a strong enough culture. The only thing they miss is they have nothing over the top. I mean, no threat. And I think ultimately in the AFC, you become kind of vulnerable. Like you have to play perfect football from a rookie quarterback on the road, 13 play drives. That's asking a lot. Whereas you could get a cheap touchdown from DeSean Jackson or OBJ. And in the playoffs, those cheap touchdowns
are... teams that you're going to be playing against can get those cheap touchdowns. You have the Bills, you have the, you know, the Ravens, like you have teams that can get those chunk yards and have those skill positions. So the College Football Playoff Committee announced its first official rankings of the season yesterday.
Loved it.
Georgia was the unanimous one seed, followed by Alabama at 2, Michigan State at 3, and Oregon at 4.
No problem with any of it.
Ohio State and Cincinnati are 5 and 6.
That's fine, too. I'm not anti-Cincinnati. 6 is fine.
Well, you were talking about this earlier with Joel Klatt, and I agree with you. I think this is the correct rankings.
Yes.
I do think you have to reward on-the-field performance as well, but... who you are playing matters. The wins that you have matter.
And your losses matter.
Your reputation matter. Your losses matter. You have to consider everything. Alabama, I believe, also would win handily over Cincinnati if they played right now.
And I told Joe Klatt, if Bama loses to Georgia, they do not. If Cincinnati's undefeated, Ohio State has one loss, Michigan State, let's say Oregon has one loss, then Alabama doesn't make it in.
Right.
But if then Michigan State has a loss, and then Cincinnati has a loss. My takeaway is we know Alabama's a top four team. They may beat Georgia. I don't know if they will, but they may. Everybody goes, well, what do the games matter? Well, Alabama's not number one today. If they weren't, they would be ahead of Georgia because we would trust Saban over Georgia. So that loss doesn't allow them to be number one. But it's a good loss by college football standards on the road, Saturday night. You let in the fourth. You lose to a team with a legit coach that has, you know, Texas A&M's
it's not. It's not an unexplainable loss.
That's right. Or a home loss.
But this is why I am for expanding the playoffs, which I do believe will happen anyway, because with COVID last year, or programs lost purged money and it would bring a lot more money into the sport. Right. But I also think what it would solve are these conversations, because once you get into an expanded playoffs, and nothing ridiculous, but once you get into, say, an 8-team playoff, you're going to remove this conversation. Now, I'm with you. That just means more blowouts in the first round.
Yes.
Which then we're going to start having the conversation of, is it too many teams in? But it will eliminate this, and it will reward teams like Cincinnati, who are having these great seasons, who feel like there's nothing that we can do
but
to get an opportunity to win a national championship.
My argument is, once you let one more person like Cincinnati into the club, then there's going to be another Cincinnati that goes, well, we're undefeated.
Right. But I think rationally we can all draw the line at, okay, then you have to earn your way in like everybody else.
Well,
did.
I think it's rational.
And you can't add too many games for these student athletes.
If you look this morning, Bama would be a 20-point favorite over Cincinnati. This is not something to die. This is not a hill to die on if you're a Cincinnati Bearcat fan. If Bama had two losses, then I'd put Cincinnati if everybody else had a bunch of losses.
No, I agree with you.
But there are exceptions to every rule. A Cincinnati has to go undefeated with mostly blowout wins, and every other big school has to have two losses of note. Bama's got to have two losses because Cincinnati'd have four in the SEC, and we all know it. We all know it. They struggle with Navy and Tulsa and Tulane or whatever. All right, we're done with the show today. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Hey, I didn't even get to half my stuff today. Seriously, half my stuff I didn't even get to. That's life. It's a big show and breaking stories. That's the way it works. All right, for Ryan and Joy, I swear to God, this is where America shops for breaking news. Speak for yourself next.